Welcome, everyone, to season 5 of Flipside Focus. Yeah, 2021 is here. We got a new season, and only the greatest comic book show on the Undercover Caves Podcast Network. I'm your host, a random dude, Josh. Now, the reason why I say it's the best comic book show on the UCPN is not because of me. It's because of my awesome co-host, Johnny the Machine Hughes.
No, it's all about you, my friend. It's all about you.
No. You just put me in my place. I mean,
well, dude, you just said you've been doing this for 5 years. I've done 5 episodes. It can't be me.
Yeah, but you've been with Comic Crusaders and Undercover Capes longer than I have. I mean, you're getting up there in age. You're kind of getting old.
Oh dear. Well, yeah. Don't tell Fraser. I used to have black hair when I started doing this, right?
Oh man. But it's a crazy thought to think that we're going into our 5th year.
It's a good thought. Mm-hmm. It just shows that when Comic Crusaders first started, it was all indie books. You know, mm-hmm. We're making a name, talking indie books, we're pushing that indie envelope. Then the big two got involved and some of the bigger indie creators came on. We did not forsake the indie books. We have not forgotten where we came from. We've made sure that indie gets as much representation, if not more, than mm-hmm. any other category of comic book out there. Purely because, you know what? We do this for the love of doing it, for the fun. We don't get paid for this. DC don't pay us just as well, considering what we say about their books. And Marvel books certainly don't pay us, you know? So yeah. It's like, indie books, sometimes they need all the help they can get. Not because of a poor quality, just because they haven't got the shelf space, the rack space, the advertising budget. They're not owned by Disney or Warner's or whatever. So, you know, this is who we are, man. This is where we started.
I know. And honestly, I think as we've seen over the last almost year with the current state of the world, indie books have really stepped it up.
Definitely. And I think to move forward through the rest of this year and whatever calamitous events are awaiting us around the corner, mm-hmm. I would like to see indie books get more digital. Mm-hmm. Because I know for a fact, you know, even when comic shops are open in my neck of the woods, I mean, we've got the Dal Knight in Darlington who does a great job of indie books. He has a great indie back section going on. We've got Forbidden Planet, but Forbidden Planet generally get just the big indie books. Neither stock Zenoscope.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, they might not be my cup of tea, but they're somebody's cup of tea, right?
Sure.
So, you know, I'd like to see more digital indie stuff. Not because I don't want to take comics out of people's hands, because I love comics to hold them. Mm-hmm. I just think to get a bigger market.
Bigger market, faster delivery.
Yeah.
And safer delivery. And to be honest, I believe it also saves a lot on overhead cost.
It could do. You got to think it does have an impact on different areas, of course, you know. Mm-hmm. But you got to think, if I could pick up, I know full well, here's a true story. I reviewed one of the Fathom series for Aspen Comics back on Comic Crusaders a couple of years back now. And I was so impressed with the book that I rang up Forbidden Planet. I was like, dude, I want to get this book. Fathom number 1, volume, it's Fathom. So what's that, volume 3000?
I think so.
So can you get me this book? And like, Johnny, we don't stock it, but let me put it on order. They went back to the warehouse. They got a copy in for me. And then every time a Fathom series comes out, they managed to get me them, right? Mm. Without me doing that, without doing the legwork and seeing the book in the first place, I'm not ringing up Forbidden Planet to say, can I have Fathom?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you've got a comic book shops aren't at fault for this. It's just there is only so much rack space. And I've said it before. You get more people coming in to buy the latest Avengers issue than you will somebody coming in to buy something like, I don't know, steak, for example.
Yeah.
So,
well, speaking of convenience, one thing I do want to mention, this episode is powered by StreamYard. It is the only platform we use here at Undercover Capes to record our podcast, because it has truly streamlined our process for recording, post-production, and all the fancy schmancy things that we can do.
Mm.
So if you guys have a podcast of your own and you're wanting to take it to that next level, check out StreamYard. There will be a link in the description. So if you pick up the premium features with StreamYard, you're also helping us out as well. So we love it. We swear by it. And they've got a lot of new features coming this year.
How we even swear on it?
You're not wrong. But let's talk indie comics. First book we're going to talk about, Johnny, this is your pick, and we're not going to use the coin this time.
Oh,
I'm going to flip it around, and we're going to mix things up with crossing over to your pick. I tried way too hard on that one. This book is from Image Comics. We've got Donnie Cates?
Cates.
Jeff Shaw, D. Canafi, and John J. Hill on this. So, Johnny, this is your book. There you go.
Yeah, this book, it kind of caught me by surprise a little while ago. The premise of the story is really quite simple. Imagine we've got reality, and then you've got the comic book world. What if that comic book world impacted into the real world? All right, what would happen? When I say comic book world, I'm talking about the comic book world. Everything's in here, all right? Everyone. So, powers that be, stick a big dome around the place, ideally to keep the citizens safe, but also to imprison the superpowered comic book dudes. That's kind of the idea. What happens is our hero, Ellie, she works in a comic book shop selling fictional books. The thing gets torched by the religious right and comes to light that she's an escapee from the comic book world. She has powers. Other characters escape, which is the little girl with the lovely pink dots for colors. And she's trying to get her back to where she needs to be. All right. It's a fun book because it's written with a love of comics in mind. You know, there are guest stars is an understatement. Superman shows up in this. You got to look real close for him, but he's in there.
Doctor Strange makes an appearance too.
Yeah, Doctor Strange. You've got Madman in there. You know, so the characters you can see will only line up with who Image are allowed to use, of course. But it's just the whole idea. For example, the opening paragraphs. It's a Watchmen thing. Yeah, it's telling you about what would happen if a great big slimy tentacle monster rocked up in New York and stopped all the powers of the world bickering with each other and made them come together to take on this new thing. That's the Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Spoilers. At least it's the Watchmen book, not the movie. I like the idea. I think it plays well with people who know their comic book stuff. Hi. it can be a little cheese on toast sometimes when they try and, you know, I'm not saying finagle, but where they try and get characters in that you maybe don't think are going to be in. But there's a lot of love in the industry for this book. I think, you know what, I think it's some of Donny Cates' best work. And when you think about how prolific he is with a certain other company, you know, that's saying something. The art looks great. I love the touches of the colors where the old school printing process is used, not just the usual digital stuff that's on there now. Yeah. You know, it works. It works for what it is. It's a fun read. If you love old comics, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of it?
I loved it. I love the concept. I love the flow of the book. The biggest thing that I love the most was the artwork. Seeing the style of the comics from the 90s and 80s and 70s, like going back to that style, that it's not just an artistic choice, but it's actually interwoven within the story.
Yeah.
And I thought that that was very creative and unique. And as you said, it's paying homage to the comics of the past. And it truly is showing that love and respect for all the books leading up to here and now.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, because I mean, the story, the page you're on now with the male character and his dad, that's pretty hard boiled. That's pretty much that's a reflection of where the comic industry used to be in the like late 90s when everyone was super violent.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's not just the art that pays that homage, as you say, to previous things. It's the story kind of the story motifs and how you tell those types of story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you get the characters that do sound like they come from the 70s. You've got the characters that sound like they are from 90s onwards, with that darkness that was sort of inherent in the industry at the time. So, yeah, I think it's a really good book for Image. I think it's one of the types of books they do really well.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, and definitely one that I would love to see. Definitely continue on. Because of the fact that they're able to pull from comic book history and interject it into this, that you now have a plethora of source material to be able to use and include in that. So it just, job well done. That's really all I can say.
And kudos to the people, to the publishers who were letting them use their characters. I mean, a couple of Dark Horse characters turn up in this book. Mm-hmm. You know, Dark Horse are under no obligation to give rights to use their characters. It's probably a business decision. You know, Dark Horse, you know, I don't want to badmouth the company because I love them to bits, but they're going to need all the help they can get. They're losing, you know, all their stuff left, right, and center. Yeah. So it's a Marvel. So, you know, any free press is good press. So, kudos for having, I guess, the open-mindedness to let Image do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Be interesting to see. And if you, for all you speculators out there, there is, I'm not sure which issue it is, so you're going to have to check it out or contact Lucas over on MPP, but there is a Spawn cover variant kicking around.
Ooh.
All right, so there you go.
So crossover by Image, great job. Pick it up. Definitely worth getting. Now, as we talk about worlds colliding.
Oh, here we go, another segue. Let me get a drink first before I hear this one.
You know, we talk about all these different worlds colliding from crossover, but what happens when it's the same character crossing over to a different world and that character, they go that way? Well, we've talked about this book before.
And I've interviewed the writer over on OTP.
And I must say, Ahoy Comics is absolutely killing it with this series. And that series is none other than The Wrong Earth, Night and Day. I reviewed this on Comic Crusaders, and I've talked about it. I absolutely love it. Written by Tom Payer, with pencils by Jamal Eagle, inks by Juan Castro, colors by Andy Troy, and letter by Rob Steen. Now, this book does have a couple of other shorter stories afterwards, but to be honest, The Wrong Earth was the one that really, really got it for me. So we have two different Earths. We have Earth Alpha and Earth Omega. Earth Alpha has Dragonfly Man and Stinger, while Earth Omega has the Dragonfly. very similar types of heroes, but the biggest difference is one is very campy and the other is very dark.
It's Batman 66 meets the Dark Knight Returns.
I was going to say, really? The Dark Knight Rises? You're really going there?
I went Returns. Yeah, no. Sorry. The audio guy will pick it up. It's all right. He's got my
back. Oh, he's going to be pissed. But honestly, like this entire story and series, to be honest, you could literally just pick this book up, get caught up on just the one page here, and be able to just take it and run with it. Dragonfly ends up back in, we'll call it, it's in Earth Alpha, the very campy, very lighthearted type world. Mm-hmm. And Dragonfly Man ends up in the very darker world, or Earth Omega. This is just a fantastic read. I mean, every single page, I didn't feel lost or confused, and even the transition from one Earth to the other were seamless.
Yeah, I could say that, yeah.
I mean, Tom Payer's done a wonderful job writing this. And then the art itself just complements the writing as well. I really have no issues with this series. And even the artwork is just top notch. I don't know if you feel the same way. But.
Well, I'm glad you asked. This, we haven't done this book the greatest of service here. There is so much more to it than the idea of a dark character in a camp world and a camp character in a dark world. I think Tom Payer is absolutely, we talk about pacing a lot in certain comics and how issues feel like fillers and so on and so forth. I am hoping, and I have complete faith in Tom Payer, that the hints in the dialogue and the script in this book pay out to the point where, I don't know if you feel it, but it feels like the Dark Dragonfly. I think he's almost reticent and reluctant to go back to his world. And I would love for it for Dragonfly Man, after all he's seen in the dark world, to get back to his world and be like, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point? You know, yeah. And kind of, you know, it's that kind of carry the ramifications of what they've seen, how, what they've done, you know, and it could be that Dragonfly decides to try and make the world a little bit more camp. And it could be that Dragonfly Man ends up being a little bit more darker because of the things that we are. Because we all are. That's exactly who we are in the real world. We are shaped by our experiences. And this book is so well observed and so well nuanced on the two different, distinct comic book types of universes that I think they'd be remiss to address that somewhere along the line. Definitely, when you see you've got Lady Dragonfly, obviously has a thing for Dragonfly and so on. So
yeah,
I think it's well observed. I think it's well crafted. Some of the art, kind of, I don't know. I don't know if it tries too hard sometimes, but that's not a bad thing. Sometimes I think the villains in the Dragonfly Man's world are just a little bit too campy, but that's kind of just a personal thing. It works. The beats are perfect for the story. You know, if you want to check this out, it's a great book. It honestly is. Ahoy Comics and AWA have absolutely, over the last 6 to 8 months, maybe last year, have just totally blown me away with the amount of quality stuff that they're putting out. And it's comic veterans doing new things. So,
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And as I've read more of these books, I see what you mean, that where the dragonfly is, he's getting acclimated.
Yeah.
To Earth Alpha. And, you know, Dragonfly Man is losing some of who he is because of the world that he's in.
Yeah.
And I mean, just that sheer concept alone is, again, a great job by Tom Payer in his writing.
Definitely.
Because at the end of the day, it's also seamless. It's not requiring him to take two or three filler issues for that transition to happen. He's able to do it at a nice pace within the story.
And because there's no filler issues, and every issue that I've read so far in this series has kind of had a focus.
Mm-hmm.
It's the stuff that happens in the previous issue has impact down the line. You know, so when you get an issue of a comic book and you think, oh man, this is just a filler issue, it's just nothing ever happens, because it doesn't move the story along. What Tom Payer is actually doing is he's giving you this issue, and then you think, oh man, nothing's happening, he's just being whingy because he's on the wrong earth. Hold on a second, read this issue, and this is where the payoff is. So without doing that first issue, you're not going to get the second point.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's not a Pearson problem. That's a fantastic plotting device in which he's hiding the key to the story in plain sight before letting it seep out of your mind, so you're not even thinking about it again because it's just another issue, before pulling you back straight to it and mm-hmm. snapping you back. And like, oh yeah, he is getting like this. He is that. So if you are just picking this up for the first time, it's not, as Josh said, it's not continuity heavy. Page one, you know what's going on. Page two, you know who all the people are. Page three, the story kicks on. It's mm-hmm. that simple. All right. No long-winded exposition. No wind. You know, the book treats the reader like they're intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
That you're able to follow one thing after another without the constant need to redress the potential not knowing on there. So,
yeah. Well, and I would even add to that by saying this book is put together so well that once you read it, if you've never read the others, you're going to then want to pick up the others.
Definitely.
Read through those, and as you do, you'll catch on and go, oh, okay, I remember that. Now it makes sense. But it's not going to be a chore in that respect. Mm-hmm.
No. It's a fun book. It's just a good idea. It's well produced, it's well executed, and there's nuance to it. You know, it's the sort of book I find myself thinking and reflecting on books like this more than I should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you pick up a comic. It's a superhero comic. You're like, yeah. Oh, look, that's funny. Yeah. Next, yeah. That's kind of how it works, right? Very, very rarely do I think back. Oh, that bit in Batman 105. What happened? Yeah, it doesn't happen, right?
Yeah.
But with something like this, you know, it's like I read this earlier today, and I'm thinking about what to write. That's when it dawns on me. I'm thinking, oh, well, you know what? Yeah, he is getting... I don't think he wants to go back. What happens if he comes back and he doesn't want to be there because there's no... You know, it's that sort of processing the feel and the emotions of the character that make this type of book work.
Yeah. So, I mean, The Wrong Earth, you're not going to go wrong by picking up this book.
did somebody not pull all our Christmas crackers with all your bad jokes in this year? Have you saved them for this?
Yeah.
Oh, son of a... If I'd known we were doing that.
Well, okay. All right. How about this? How about we put a stake in it and we'll move on to the next book?
let me just contact my agent, see if I can get out of this gig.
Just
because the Bronco season was a joke doesn't mean you have to try and drag me into this.
Hey, you got to admit, that put the nail in the coffin so well. And we're talking about steak on this one. All right, let's see if we can take a bite out of this book. All right, shall we? All right. So now that the bad jokes are, we'll put those on hold for a moment. Steak. I don't want to make promises I can't keep. So this is from Scout Comics. Writer is David. Is it pronounced Byrne?
Yep. Byrne.
Art by Francesca Fantini and letters by Joel Rodriguez. I don't know about you, but vampire books lately have been on the rise. Between this, no heroin, I'm seeing an uptick in vampire stories, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Buffy and Angel over on IDW.
Yeah.
The Angel book, by the way, I'll tell you now, what a loss Zach Thompson is on that book. Don't get me wrong, I love Brian Hill Edwards. I thought he was fantastic on it, and then I bought the book for him. But when Zach Thompson came on board, I was totally invested. It was like, yep, I'm with this. I love Zach Thompson's writing. I've known him for a couple of years now. When they cancelled Angel, man, you missed out there, like, missed out big time.
Yeah.
The art was spotty, but Zach Thompson's writing, spot on. Sorry.
Well, and then that just kind of continues with our comments, you know, that we've said before, where there is a fine balance in writing and the artwork for comics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first thing that really stood out in this book is the fact that the choice to have it be black and white, unless blood is involved, and that color red really just pops out of the pages. Story-wise, there was a lot going on, but it's also a number one. So, honestly, I think I was more captivated by the artwork that I, to be honest, I kind of forgot what I was doing. but I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because I was truly enthralled with the artwork. So I'm going to have to rely on you to help me out on this.
All right. Okay. All right. So Steak's pretty much like Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets Hack and Slash. There you go.
Okay.
So the girl in question, code name Steak, real name Angel, not that Angel. Has her life destroyed by a blood-sucking vampire. She then becomes a social media star, part of the Vampire Hunters Bounty Hunter Union, who go out looking to get rid of vamps. Thing is, vamps nowadays in this book have a social standard. But if you don't live by the rules, then it's fair game. All right? Okay. And that's where the bounty hunter element of the story comes into. So in this particular issue, Steak gets herself picked up by an ambulance paramedic crew who both are vampires, on the idea of, as paramedics, they're getting access to bleeding people and, of course, doing what vampires do naturally or unnaturally, depending on your point of view. Hence the break of the rules. Hence she goes off and tries to dispatch of them. Mm-hmm. All right? There's all lots of other subplots going on, mystic origins and all that sort of stuff, which are hinted at, which is all well and good. And of course, you get a vampire mentor in a character that turns up later on, swinging swords like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I thought it was all right for what it was, Scout Comics. have consistently, they're maybe not up there with Ahoy or AWA, but they've been doing it a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
And they have managed to put out a mixed portfolio, some superhero stuff, some mature stuff, some stuff like this. I will say, from the writing point of view, it's superbly well observed.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of nuances about social media in there, which I really liked. There's one gag where she's recording herself trying to wait a stakeout, pardon the pun, and she says to one user, "No comment about my boobs, or I'll ban you." And then the next line is, on the screen comes up, "Oh, you can't see your boobs," at which point she says, "Right, that's it, you're done."
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, it's just that kind of observational bit that kind of gave it, I suppose, a little bit of a different feel. I think the character's based more on hack and slash than Buffy, to be fair. She's got that punk thing going on.
Yeah.
A clever color choice to go grayscale and then throw the red in there for the contrast.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I looked at this book for Crusaders, and I had a busy week on Crusaders last week, and I have to say, this beats a number of other books. So
yeah.
I just thought, first issue, so I'm always a little bit more open-minded when it comes to first issues,
because mm-hmm.
You've got to get through the exposition. But I thought it was pacey. I thought it was had some good action. I don't want to say that you can get tied to a bed that quick. Don't ask me how I know these things. I won't tell you. It's simple as. But other than that, yeah, it is what it is. Tongue in cheek, played for laughs, vampire book.
Yeah.
What's not to like?
Only thing you need is some fishnets and you're set.
I think she has fishnets in one of them. I'm sure she does.
Well, you know, she's got that punk rock vibe going, so it is very, very possible.
And they'll be ripped, of course, yeah. As well.
Yeah. The one panel I did...
What is it with punks that can't keep the fishnets straight? I mean, come on.
Yeah. I don't know. I did like the showing the vampires in media of the past.
That was brilliant. That was brilliant. And yes, in case anybody questions, the dude from Sesame Street, he counts.
Yep, the counts.
See, my joke's funnier than yours. That's one. To me.
Oh, jeez.
Are we going to win an award for this one? Is it? What was the award that this show got a couple of years back? Was it last year?
Oh, yeah, it was. Oh my gosh, it was a couple of years ago. So much I can't even remember.
Call them up and let them watch this episode. Then we'll get the award back this year. Go on.
Oh, yeah. It was for best host.
Best joke goes to the Sesame Street dude. Does count?
Yeah, I mean, looking at this panel though, I mean, there's some very iconic vampires throughout history. Yes, we have the Count. We've got Gary Oldham from Dracula.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Blade is in there. Angel is in there. Yes, we have Edward.
He's not a vampire. Just saying.
You
have Tom Cruise's "I am not a killer." Well, you are a killer.
For a
with a vampire.
I mean, at the end of the day,
Keith Sutherland's in there from Lost Boys.
Yeah, all of them. Wesley Snipes is Blade. I mean, this panel, loved it. Absolutely loved it. But on that note, we'll put a...
You can't put a stick. You said that one already.
Oh, way to put the garlic on my joke.
Yeah, I've got to say that was that's probably the stretchiest one you've had so far.
Well, you know, so I think what we'll do is we're going to take a little break. We've got a quick ad for you, showing off one of our other Crusaders endeavors, Bob O'Mac with Crisis in the Toyverse. So while Johnny is dousing himself in holy water,
red wine. That's why I'm looking for red wine now.
You guys enjoy this ad for Crisis in the Toyverse, and when we come back, we will talk Kickstarter. That was awesome. Make sure to check out Crisis in the Toyverse on our YouTube channel. But now that Johnny has gone all sparkly in the sun, we're going to jump over to Kickstarter. So the first book we're going to talk about that is on Kickstarter is one that timing-wise I found to be very interesting. Given the fact that Cyberpunk 2077 is out and that has caused all sorts of chaos, which is fine. It is what it is. But we are talking about Fractured Shards by Sean Paulette. So this book takes place in a future world. You have essentially two different worlds. The futuristic world with lights, and then you've got the slums. And the main character is a police officer with the major crimes unit. And to be honest, from everything that I've read about this and from the, you know, the trailer that they put in, this is your... How can I put it? It's almost like a Law and Order futuristic type book.
All right.
But you definitely have that sci-fi aspect to it. And the first thing that stands out really was the artwork. Anytime you have any sort of futuristic stuff, it's going to be wall-to-wall color. I will note that this is definitely not kid-friendly. So definitely geared more towards adults. But that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Just make sure if that sort of thing is not your cup of tea, don't get it for your kids. But to be honest, it's a typical cop story that takes place in the future. And I'm pretty impressed with it. John, what are you?
I had an itch in my eye, sorry. You know, here's a bit of a plug. Go and check. We have other shows. You and I both work on TDC, right? The Definitive Crusade. Yeah. We recently had an episode where we talked about some of the future state books, and I commented that the art in Harley was too digital.
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me of that. Now, for Harley, that would be a problem. Why? Well, Harley's her own media icon now, isn't she? She's she's up there. She's DC have paid the dues. They've put the effort in. They've turned her from a sidekick model to a character who pretty much can go toe-to-toe with in popularity-wise, with any character they've got in their universe.
Yeah.
For an indie book like this, that digital aspect, that feel of digital, whether it being based in a future world, has to be there. It has to feel like that. Mm-hmm. And I think they get the vibe of that book down perfectly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm curious to think, why do we always have to have strippers? Not that I've got a problem with strippers, you know. Hang on. Put them in fishnets, though, please. Simple tastes. The law enforcement element, is it Blade Runner? Is it not? Is it something else? Is it something in between? I look at this book and I think to myself, there's enough to differentiate it from things like Blade Runner. You know, there's enough to differentiate it from other things. You're going to get pulled up into the story, you know. There's an event that happens that has a huge impact on the characters, and that's what drives it forward. I love the art. I agree. The art has a nice feel to it. Mm-hmm. I think for the vibe and the area that it's aiming for, I think it's bang on. I think it's really good.
Yeah.
I think this would be if you like this sort of thing, if this is your bag, if futuristic stories and cops are your thing and you like looking at different worlds and different versions of our world, then, you know, this is definitely for you.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that I appreciate is it's not a US-based creator.
Mm-hmm.
Sean is actually from Australia.
Good day.
Right? So that's the other thing. I mean, the fact that we're also spotlighting creators not US, not based out of the States, not even based out of the UK, Australia.
Mm.
You know, and we've seen a lot of fantastic books come out of that area. So now the reason why I mentioned that, though, is depending on where you live, you have to take into account shipping.
Yes, you do.
Project. You know, we always talk about, you know, you got to be mindful of that. Well, this definitely requires you to be mindful of that. But that being said, I mean, when I get up to the top of the book, with 22 days left on the Kickstarter at the time of recording, this book is already fully funded.
Mm.
And so backing the project now, you're insured you're going to get the book. You're going to be able to get those stretch goals and things like that. So being able to help with that. And to be honest, with the nature of the book, this would be one totally worth getting on digital.
Have you seen what one of the stretches are?
Let me get down to these stretch goals. I know there's like the variant covers, which, to be honest, the main cover.
I apologize, as a pledge for $499. All right, which is about $286 in pounds, which makes about $350-$370 in US. You get a 1-hour web meeting with Dan Fuegel.
StreamYard.
StreamYard, baby. So there you go. That's how good StreamYard can be.
Well, there you go. Get drawn in as a background character. Bam. And there's 6 of those left. So if you want to get in on the book, literally get in the book. There you go. I missed that part. That's really cool. Obviously, that is a significant amount of money. But
it is, but the thing's guaranteed. You're not putting a massive, you know. You're not like pledging the money and then just seeing it go to waste. It's the book's done, yeah. Man. The book's done.
True. True. Wow. Even the $300 Australian dollar tier is already, that one's already fully, there's no more available on that. That was the other thing I noticed that he was really smart about doing is limiting these bigger tiers. So,
I found that recently on a couple of Kickstarters, actually, when I've kind of gone to look and see where I want to pledge, I don't know, the $10 amount. Mm-hmm. Where I'm going to click the pledge button, it gets kicked back and say, well, you can't pledge 10 anymore. You have to pledge 20. So I don't know if there's limits to what you can and can't do across on different ones. It's something to look out for because, you know, some people might not want to pay whatever. So, you know.
So out of this one, what would you say would be the ideal tier?
I would probably go, you know what, I would probably go with the $29, the Australian $29. That way you're getting the PDF as well as you are getting the actual book. And it does say that it ships anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So for me, that's probably where I would pitch my tent. Of course, other things kick in from there. It depends on what you want from this. But I mean, I don't even mind the thingy, you know, the $40 one either with the light variant color cover.
Yeah.
I think that's canny as well. So, but my only, and this is just a me thing, so apologies. I would probably shy away from ones where I got two copies of the book, but one with a different cover, one with the other. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of think, well, I'm paying twice for the same book. I don't do that. So now I don't do that in comic book shops. If there's variant covers on my comics, I'll pick the cover that I like.
Yeah.
I'm not fussed or mussed about it. You know, it's like, yeah, the only time I get narky is when it's not cover price. And they say, oh, this one's like £6. Like, you know, so I just keep the standard one then. Thanks, Chase. Yeah. Same story. But yeah. That's me being the Grinch that stole comic books.
Well, yeah. I think out of this one, I'd probably go the same one that you recommended was, you know, the $29, which would be about $23 in the States. Yes, I'm going to be paying a little bit more for shipping for the physical book. But I'm kind of okay with that.
It's a 48-page graphic novel. Where do you... I mean, how much do you spend now on a graphic novel that's 48 pages?
That's going to be closer to, it'll be about $20.
Yeah, so.
So, yeah, you're definitely getting your money's worth. So
just look at the quality of the paper. You know, it's on 150 GSM glossy interior paper with a 250 GSM cardstock cover at a standard comic book size. So that's brilliant. So basically, GSM, for those who aren't down with this, the measurement, it's about the gradient of the paper. So the higher the GSM, the better quality the paper is.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of how that works. Yeah. So if you think about your standard photocopy paper that you see at work, that's really low end because it's just cheap and nasty. Boof, boof, boof. Whereas other as you move up the ranges, the gradient of the paper increases. The paper reacts differently. Mm-hmm. So if you're using, I normally have an art pad. Give me 2 seconds.
One thousand, two 1,000, three 1,000. It was about 3 seconds, just so you know.
Sorry. Where's my? There we are. So this paper here. This is my. This is out my sketch pad that I sometimes doodle on when I'm doing these things, and people are talking. I'm not listening. This is about 90 GSM, so Sharpie. So when you put like a picture on there, it bleeds a little bit.
Okay. Yeah?
So, you know, that's because I'm using these two mediums. The greater the paper, the better it would be, as opposed to something like a normal pad, which it's nothing. So yeah, there you go. Paper Education by Joining the Machine News.
Well, there you go.
Up next, Sellotape.
Oh jeez. Oh man. Well, let's jump from Fractured Shards. And we're really gonna shatter this next one.
Boop, 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 boop.
So this is actually a pretty big announcement that kind of hit mainstream news from Boom Studios. And Boom's always been awesome. But this is the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the complete comic book collection. So they're taking everything, which includes the Shattered Grid story arc, putting it into one collection. And, you know, for those of you who are Ranger fans, and even those who are big into collecting, you know, complete sets, this is definitely going to be the book series for you. So here's my question. So this particular one, it's everything. Hardbound, all together, each volume within the set is going to be modeled after each Ranger, you know, so you get that theme with it. Why do you think Boom went with Kickstarter? Why didn't they just say, we're going to just print it and set the baseline price?
That's a really good question. Boom Studios aren't the only people that do this sort of thing. Dynamite recently did one for Miss Fury by Bill Tucci. And I had the exact same thought. Why would a company like Dynamite have to go to Kickstarter to get something up? For me, there's probably only one. There's two reasons. First is, again, I'm going to sound like a Grinch. If I'm a big fan of Power Rangers already, I have these already, don't I? Would you agree? If I'm a big Power Rangers fan?
Yeah, you would have bought the trades.
I would have bought the floppies. Never mind the trades. You know how I feel about trade paperbacks.
That's true.
Yeah, you know I don't like the fact that when you open the damn thing, you have to sort of like break the spine nearly to see the whole page because it's all wedged together. You know? So I would have bought the floppies already.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what? I might have bought a trade if there was extra stuff in it. Like, you know, how the artist made the page or the build-up of the page or whatever. Because I like stuff like that. I'm a bit nerdy.
Yeah.
As I might have told you about my fantastic paper story. So I already have this. And Power Rangers are a really popular thing for Boom. So for me, it's a way for them to test the water, to turn around and say, you know what, we've got this project we're going to do. We're going to put all these, we're going to bring all the Power Ranger comics back out. We're going to put them in the hardback. We're going to make sure it's really expensive. But to buy it, it is expensive. If they did it to the main, like out for a comic book shop, this would be an expensive book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? My local Forbidden Planet has Tales of Wonderland from Zenoscope in. I kid you not, it's this thick. And it retails at around £55.
Oof. Right?
Hardback, it looks lovely. At least it used to look lovely. It doesn't look so lovely now because it's got dust in it because no one's bought the damn thing.
Yeah.
Right? That's a lot of money. And when you think about things, when you know you've got more important things to buy, why would I spend that huge amount of money on something that I already own? So Boom are kind of saying to themselves, well, what we'll do, we'll put it on Kickstarter, and what'll happen is we'll get the fans who want it to purchase it, to pledge for it, and that way we can make the right amount, therefore saving on overprinting or underprinting, and the fans who want it will get it, where it's not clogging up stock in a comic book store like that damn Zenoscope book is.
Yeah.
So it makes sense in a way because you turn around and you're saying, you know, if you want it, we'll do it. And you pledge money for it. And then whatever the pledge is, you're guaranteed to get in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what I think. Well, I mean, what do you think? Do you agree? Or
I do. I mean, from an overhead cost, obviously going the Kickstarter route, you know, they're able to say, okay, we have to print this many of this tier, this many of this tier, this many of this tier. They've also been able to get, you know, the different Rangers. So you've got Well, and we're about to show off my nerd here. So we got Jason David Frank, Amy Jo Johnson. We've got Billy Yost or Adam Yost. Oh my gosh. Oh, I lost it as soon as we got to Zach. Walter Jones. That's his name. And then Karen Ashley. You know, so we've got the full second team. No, yes. Because Trini had passed away. So obviously Trini isn't around, unfortunately. And Austin St. John is doing his own thing, which is totally fine. But you know, you've got those popular Rangers involved. And so
I like Wild Force. I'm sorry. Wild Force is one of my favorite ones.
So I tried to get into that, but mine is Mighty Morphin. And then Power Rangers Zeo. I couldn't even do Turbo. Turbo was a struggle.
It goes for me.
Oh, no, it's David Yost. Excuse me. Not Billy Yost. David Yost.
It goes for me. Wild Force. Then the one with the Time Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Quite like that one. Mighty Morphin.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one? Is it Dino Thunder? Is that one of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Dino Thunder. And then I stopped.
Yeah. So I get from a production standpoint this, because it's such a big undertaking, yes, there's going to be specific people to buy into it. Here's one of the downfalls, though. The secondary market, if someone buys the autograph one, in effect, they can turn it around and sell it for more. And there will be people out there who will pay 3, 4, 5 times as much as the person who backed the Kickstarter, simply because it's autographed. I do like the idea of the whole Megazord stand. I thought that was kind of a cool idea, and that you can have all of them displayed there. But those are going to be for those super fans that have the space for that. There's no one, even if I had the money, I don't have the room to set up a giant Megazord stand in my house to display comic books that I may read once a year.
Yeah. I get your point about the secondary market, but don't you think that from a collecting point of view that every comic runs the risk of the secondary market?
Yeah.
You know as well as I do, there's comics that will come out that people pay cover price for, and within a week they'll shoot up through the stratosphere. You know, I've flipped my Batman Damned purely because I didn't like the story. Yes, I know that sounds like sacrilege. Oh my God, someone doesn't like a Batman story. Get over it. But I flipped it. I paid a fiver for it, and I sold it £45.
Yeah.
Is that not exactly the same thing?
It is, but at the same time, I don't know. It's kind of an interesting thing, because we talked about this with when Seth MacFarlane, mm-hmm. or not... Oh my gosh, my brain today. I need a nap. That's what Todd McFarlane.
Todd McFarlane, yeah.
Did his Kickstarter for the Spawn figure. Same concept.
Yes and no. Yes and no. Because you know full well that Todd McFarlane has enough business savvy to make enough of his Spawn figures.
Mm-hmm.
That will sell, fly off the shelves, right?
Yeah, which that one did. I mean, it was what, 20, within 24 hours, he already hit a mil?
Yeah. So that's fine, you know. But Doug McFarlane, in his head, knows he wants to sell X amount of these to make money, mm-hmm. right? Same with Boom. They know they want to make so many of these trades to make money. Once they've made their money, they don't care what happens thereafter. If someone makes a book on it, fine, that's on them. If somebody buys a figure for £30 or $30 and then tries to flip it and ends up selling it for $25, that's on them.
Yeah. Right?
McFarlane's different in that you that he crosses over with a Spawn figure, he crosses over two different markets. The toy collector bit, which, you know, Crisis and Toyverse will tell you how bonkers that can be because it's super popular.
Yeah.
And it's also the comic book ones because Spawn's a comic book character. Right?
Yeah.
So you've got two markets there. Right? So realistically speaking, with a product that has already he knows has mass market appeal and the quality of his previous figure work, he should be able to feel comfortable in doing that himself, and he knows it's going to fly off the shelf.
Yeah.
With Boom, it's a reprint. No matter how much you repackage it and how much you put this on and a Megazord this and a Black Ranger that and a Pink Ranger this and, oh, look, you get a Fishnets version. It doesn't matter. It's still the same stuff that I bought when I was a fan because I bought the floppies.
Yeah.
So you're taking a risk. You're taking a risk in the fact that, you know, I've got a product. So in type of file, I've got a new product I want to sell.
Yeah.
Based on my experience, I should be able to sell that. On Booms is, I've got a product that sells canny well. I want to put a trade out, but if I put it all, if I'm paying for it all, it doesn't fly out because, hey, it's going to be expensive and people already have them already. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to lose money. So there's a difference there. I think it's a difference.
Yeah. No, I would agree. At the end of the day, I mean, if you're a Rangers fan and say you didn't pick up the floppies, then yeah, this might appeal to you. If you've never read the Power Rangers comics, you're missing out because they really did a great job. And the whole Shattered Grid story arc was fantastic. I mean, they created a new Ranger from the comics that has Lord Draken is like the Harley Quinn of the Power Rangers universe. Because, you know, new character implanted within the morphing grid, if you will, and has caught on. Yeah, it helps that you have Jason David Frank, who Lord Draken is Tommy Oliver anyway, so it works.
But I've not read a lot of them, but I have read a couple that I've reviewed for Crusaders, and I have to say, I think this about Boom as a whole anyway. I enjoyed it. Which one was it? The Pink Ranger came back to the world to try and live down a past. I think it was after Shattered Grid.
Yeah.
I think it was the one shot where she ends up taking the throne from Rita Repulsa, if memory serves.
I think so, yeah.
Does that sound about right?
It sounds about right. It's been a hot minute since I've read them, but I've also been playing the Shattered Grid game, and I know they've taken a lot of this story and interjected it in that, so my mind may be combining the two.
So
my mind is kind of shattered at the moment. I mean, story arcs are kind of going all over the morphing grid.
No, but I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really decent. The art was solid. I know we have a couple of Crusaders who absolutely love Power Rangers, so yeah. But no, I think if you're a big fan, you'll get it. And if you've already got the graphics, the trades or the floppies, you might be umming and ahhing, which is exactly what Boom are trying to avoid. They're trying to get the serious collector.
Yeah. The other thing that does stand out is the estimated delivery on this is not till April of 2022. So, I mean, you've got to be waiting well over a year to get the book.
Yeah, and that's another thing when you think about distribution points. You've got to think about who's going to order it.
Mm-hmm.
Room on the on the order to afford it for a comic book shop, then they've got to display it. Then they're not going to be able to get all the stuff that you want to get with it, like the stand and everything like that. So yeah. I think if they came out and told me it was a brand new Power Rangers stuff, a brand new Power Rangers story, I'd be on them the same way I was on McFarlane, saying, come on, you know how to put out a new Power Rangers story. But for a high-end reprint book, I think they've done the right thing by saying, you know what, we'll put it a Kickstarter, and then we'll know that 10 fans want it, so then we can put it. Obviously, it's more than 10 fans. 1,000 fans like it, so therefore we'll, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they've made over, they've already had well over $400,000 pledged.
Which is great. You've got to think, though, a low-seller mainstream comic book title only sells around $12,500 worth, and that's from Diamond. All right, and that's a low end big two comic book. Yeah. I'm not going to say who it is, Batgirl, but you know how popular she can be. Mm-hmm. You know, now you're coming up with Power Rangers who sell less than that, and you're then asking me to spend, in a comic book shop, a huge amount of money. It's a big risk for a retailer to put that order in. Big risk. So I think Boom are being responsible to the fans. They're being responsible to the retailers. I think they're being responsible to themselves so they don't get caught. I think it's a good call from Boom, definitely.
Yeah. Well, and again, Kyle Higgins did a fantastic job with the story. So,
I like Kyle Higgins from his dare I say, what was that? What was the book he did? For DC, it was a 12-issue thing. Freedom Fighters. There you go.
Yeah.
That was great. So
yeah. So at the end of the day, I mean, if you've got the money to be able to spend it and you're a hardcore Power Rangers fan, check it out.
No, if you've got the money and you're a hardcore Rangers fan, join our Patreon so we can talk to you about this. There you go.
Yeah. That is something thank you for bringing that up. We will be launching a Patreon here. We're just getting everything kind of fine-tuned. So stay tuned for more information about that because we will have Patreon-exclusive content as well.
There you go. So, yeah, you can join the Patreon, hurl abuse at me for being a Dolphins fan.
Well, you know, I'd rather be a Dolphins fan right now than a Broncos fan because, man, this season was a joke.
No, you never leave your team. You're right. Mav, you never leave your wingman.
I will. Oh, you know what? Maybe I'll just go be Goose and die.
Watch out for the canopy.
But the other cool part is you'll be able to join our Discord and hang out with us as well, be able to talk football with us and comics and video games, give Johnny crap about playing just mobile games.
Hey, I'm all right with that. I don't mind.
Well, you know, but hopefully you guys have enjoyed this episode. Johnny, I always enjoy hanging out with you.
Me too, man. This is one of my highlights of my podcasting Fortnite.
Aww. Even if I'm like putting a stake in the bad jokes.
Even if.
And just, you know, shattering your grid with all of my horrible, horrible puns.
I wouldn't go that far. No, honestly, all joking aside, you know, speaking to you about something like we're both passionate about in indie books is enjoyable. It's fun. It's, you know, it's a breath of fresh air when you think of some of the other stuff we have to look at. So, yeah. What was the other one we looked at? Swamp Thing. Flash.
Oh, man.
Hashtag, that was your choice.
Hey, yeah, if you guys want to hear our review on that, check out the Definitive Crusade where we talk about the future state of one of the big two. Let's see what I did there.
That's it.
Or if you want to hear about the comics of the past, where the comics are old and maybe one of the hosts is old too, check out the Old Timers Comic Book Show.
Well, actually, I think I've got some news for our indie lovers in that. Do you remember, cast your minds back, we looked at The Eighth Immortal, the comic book a little before Christmas, about the guy and the girl who had a kid and their green eyes. Do you remember?
Oh.
Source Point, I think it is.
Yeah.
Just say yes. Yes. All right. Guess who's coming on the OTP outside the panels for a conversation?
Ooh.
Okay. That's right. Oh. That's right. So that's going to be scheduled this week. So that's going to be Jacob Murray from the Eighth Immortal. On top of that, I have got, and I had this in my back pocket for a while.
Oh, boy.
From the Kick-Ass series, Space Bastards. That's the title of the book. It's not me making it up. Sorry. I have an interview with the co-creators of that book. There you go. And that's coming up a week yesterday. So that'll be out in a couple of weeks. There you go.
For the absolute definitive podcast of Outside the Panels.
Yeah.
The true creator.
The true original. Except no substitute. No OTP tab on this case.
Nope, definitely not. And then for those of you who are fans of Magic the Gathering, we will be having a new show coming to Undercover Capes Podcast Network. So make sure to stay tuned for that. And if you are a super fan of Magic the Gathering, like myself, and watch a couple of other podcasts, we are bringing someone on who is relatively familiar, especially to the Commander scene. So stay tuned. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be some janky stuff, if you know what I mean. So I know, Johnny, you're looking at me like, the hell is he on about?
It's a different language. I have looked at it so many times and gone, what the is going on? So,
and for me to say it's going to be some janky stuff, I mean, Commander players, you know what I'm talking about. Janky is what makes the game fun.
Wait. Is that not the chick who's from Scooby-Doo? Oh, no, that's
Belle. Jinkies. No, Janky is pulling some very off-the-wall stuff to win the game.
Some shit.
Oh, yeah, they definitely throwing shade all around. But that is coming out, and I honestly, that's one I'm super excited for. It's been in the works and in development now for a couple of months. So stay tuned to that. And then, of course, we've got other shows like K-Pop Cosmos and, of course, the Definitive Crusade and No Price Podcast. So we've got a slew of shows covering all varieties for you. But for this episode, that will be it. It is season 5. We are hitting the ground running. I'm excited for this year and what the indie comics world will be bringing for us. Johnny, I know you read a lot, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Looking forward to some of the things that are going to come out, definitely. I just think the world that we're living right now is just going to help creative juices flow, percolate, and just see what comes out, man.
Yep, absolutely. So we will wrap it up for this episode, but we will catch you guys on the next one.
Visit UndercoverCapes.com for the latest and greatest podcasts via the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Also visit our parent company website, ComicCrusaders.com, all about comic pop culture.